There's an address on the screen. I want you to take that survey while we're setting up. Go ahead.
I'm going to start off by saying I am a person that always, when someone else gives their testimony or they have a word, that I feel like, okay, whatever word I had, that person, the Father's giving it to them, I'm good. And so I try to not outshine, because you can't outshine the Father. You can't outshine Yeshua. But to piggyback and add on to what Mary Grace is saying, the book we were reading was Truly For You by Robert Morrison. And I had already read some of that book. We read the third chapter. I had no idea what was for the third chapter. And I read the first two chapters probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I stopped because I became really busy. And so just to add to that testimony, that was the right time. I had pulled two other books out of my bag and trying to decide what to take. And I was like, you know, why not? I stopped. I picked it back up. And so it's such a blessing to see the Father's hand move, because he really says, and it's really true, that if you call on me and you come with faith and expectation, I will deliver. I also want to add on that this is the perfect time for John about being kind to one another, because a year ago, I was broke at this time. I had no money. I had real no way of bringing anything in. I was asking help from Kosimka. I had gotten closer to the Simpkins, and we were talking about it and realizing that I came to them looking for work, and that's how we built a better bond and relationship. And out of the kindness of John, the kindness of Sam, I work for Moses Engineering. I make the most money I've ever made in my entire life.
Yeah.
I'm debt free. I'm at a place to be able to financially support others and give more back into our communities, give more back into our regions. And so I felt prompted to say that we hit a season and we believe we're going to be in that season, but there's only 4 seasons. It might go past 3 or 4 months at a time, but for the most part, there's a new chapter coming. There is a new open door, because the Father is sovereign and he's faithful.
Amen.
It is very easy to be upset and angry in the situation that you're in. It's so easy to feel like, why me? Why me? Why now? But as the word tells us, that let it be now a better time than ever. And you're in your situation and you're going through your hard times because he knows that not only are you strong enough, but he knows that he's strong enough and he's going to take care of you. And you need to also take heed to your responsibilities, but to look to the Father, to look to Yeshua, to look to the word for instructions on how to move. Don't move on your own accord.
I don't need to preach. No, he did it. I know her. He did it.
Amen.
I'm not asking answers for the quiz yet. I want to give you enough time to do it. And then I'm not going to set you up and tell me to holler out, tell you to holler out your answer, because that's not what it's all about. This week was a pretty rough week. There's only a few people that even have an idea of what Sam, TJ, and I have been through this week. It's only a few of you. And we'll keep it that way. But the good news is, the Father won. That's all there is to it. He won. Why did he win? To show us that he can. And to show us that it's not us. No matter what we do, no matter how bad we feel, he will still fight our battle. And he will still win. Amen. But there will be more battles. But guess what? There will be more victories. That's all there is to it. There will be more victories. No matter what you're going through, no matter who's against you, he's not. He's not against you. He's for you. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that worthy of a, well,
woo!
One of those?
Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah. Well, through all those battles, it was pretty difficult to find time to put something together. But I hope and pray that what comes out of this gives him more glory. My love is measured by how well I listen. Now, my wife's at home watching this, I hope, and she could probably... I'm going to testify that I'm not real good at this. Okay? And I know there's many of us in here who fight that same fight. How well I listen is measured by how I respond. I know I'm in trouble when I get home. But I love you, honey. In its modern usage, love is rarely spoken of in relationship to listening. In the Bible, love is different. It speaks of husband and wife, of parent and child, of Jehovah and his people. It is there that we learn what real love is. And it always involves listening. If we were speaking Hebrew, that might be enough to make the point. But English makes listening passive. Love is not passive. It does not simply go in one ear and out the other. In Hebrew, to shema is to respond. How often has our rabbi taught on that? Well, he needs to teach it again and again and again, because we always forget what that means. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. It is not merely hearing, it is reacting to what is spoken. We cannot claim to love God and not respond positively to what he says. To shema is to hear and obey. It is why in Hebrew the words for hear and obey is the same. Shema. Followers of the Messiah should not wonder if some obscure commandment from the Old Testament applies to them. For there are no obscure commandments to those who love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14:21. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15:10. You are my friends. Wow. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15:14. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:3-4. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5:2-3. So let me ask you a question. Do you have ears? Did you hear what the Almighty spoke? Why are you not responding in love by obeying him? Shema. Have anybody in here taken that survey yet? Yeah. Okay. Finished it? So there's some scoring levels. This is important, and you'll understand why. If you scored a 17, no, it's based what on the score. If you look at the score, 17%. They say Sunday, but we don't do Sunday, so it's really Shabbat. Okay. So we're Shabbat stalwarts. We're religious traditionalists, actively involved with our faith and engaged in our congregation. He scored 12. God and country believers. Socially and politically conservative, most likely to view immigrants as hurting American culture. He scored an 11. Diversely devout. Traditionally religious, but majorities also believe in psychics, reincarnation, and that spiritual energy can be located in physical objects. Somewhat religious. 17. Relaxed religious. Says it not necessary to believe in God to be a moral person. Religion is important to them, but few engaged in traditional practices. 15. Spiritually awake. Few practice religion in traditional ways, but most believe in heaven and hell and subscribe to New Age beliefs. Non-religious, 29%. 12. Religion resistors. Most think organized religion does more harm than good. Politically liberal and Democrat. 17 in that group. Secular. Hold virtually no religious beliefs and reject New Age beliefs. So most U.S. adults identify with a particular religious denomination or group. They describe themselves as Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Jewish, Mormon, or Muslim, to name just a few of the hundreds of identities and affiliations that people give in surveys. Others describe themselves as atheists, agnostic, or say they have no particular religious affiliation. These are the conventional categories into which Americans sort themselves. But a new Pew Research Center analysis looks at beliefs and behaviors that cut across many denominations. Important traits that unite people of different faiths or that divide people who have the same religious affiliation, producing a new and revealing classification or typology of religion in America. The devil's been hard at work dividing people. That's it. That's all I got for that survey. But understand who's coming against you. And understand that it's coming at a fervor that's been never seen before. We have a new coordinated leader in the world. Some say he's the beast. Some say he's the Antichrist. Whatever he is, he really has no significant impact in our daily life right now. His ambitions and goals say otherwise. But if you believe, like you two believe, that the Heavenly Father that we serve will save and protect us, then you have nothing to worry about. Okay? Nothing. It may get a little bouncy. Okay? But we stick together. Right? We're a family. Am I right? Okay? We have each other's backs. Right? And the word I spoke to my brother Sam this morning was covenant. For some, we're in covenant with each other. And that covenant will be tested. Thoroughly tested. We really have seen nothing yet. We see waves are really tiny. But we're going to see those waves crest over our heads. And it's going to force us to either look to God or look to man. That's your choice. Will God protect you and feed you, or will man? One is life everlasting, and one is it'll be a little warm where you're going. Okay? You will be rotisserie well done. Continuously. Okay? So look up. Your redemption's drawing nigh. Hallelujah. So, like Rabbi spoke this morning on before the Torah processional about it more, this is really a very exciting portion. And if you've been reading the Torah for long, you may have become familiar with the formula. And Jehovah said to Moses. In Hebrew, it's the same phrase. Vayomer Jehovah el Moshe. Such a common phrase can easily be dismissed by some. But let's try to understand it and to understand its significance in this week's scripture portion. That exact phrase is used 66 times in the Torah. That makes it one of the most often repeated phrases in all of Scripture. If that does not get your attention, it should. Something is being conveyed here. Note that it does not say the word of Jehovah came to Moshe, as often as it is the case of the prophets. Even modern-day prophets think they've heard from Jehovah. Instead, Jehovah spoke to Moses. And we'll see why in the following scripture. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moshe. He is faithful in all my house, and I speak with him face to face. even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of Jehovah. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? Numbers 12, 6 through 8. The Almighty speaks to Moshe, and when Moshe speaks to the people, Moshe does not speak for himself. Moshe does not make it up. Moshe speaks the very words of Jehovah. So family, pay attention. The Torah of Moshe is the Torah of Jehovah. The words of the Torah are the words of Jehovah. Moshe spoke only the words that were spoken to him. Hallelujah. How odd that we even have to point that out. Do not permit anyone to denigrate the word of the Almighty by saying something like, "But that is the law of Moses, and we have the New Testament," as it is if somehow because the Father spoke through Moshe that makes these words suspect and inferior. May it never be. To those who think and promote such thinking, we must remember the words of the King of the universe, who says in Numbers 12:8, "Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe?" What is so important about the Father speaking? Family, if you do not get anything else in your study this week, it is this. The Father speaks, and his words are his revealed will. So I have a question for you. What voice are you hearing? And to what voice are you responding to? Think about it. So let me say it again this way. The Father speaks and thereby reveals his will. Got it? The Father spoke. Moshe wrote it down. Only one question should remain for us. Are we going to hear or shema and obey? This is one of the things that Moshe wrote down. Jehovah, your Father. You're the Father or your God, or however you want to say that phrase, the G and the dash and the D. Some of us who are close entitled him the Father. So Jehovah the Father will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moshe, from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desire of Jehovah, your Father, in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of Jehovah, my Father, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And Jehovah said to me, "What they have spoken is good. I will raise up from them a prophet and put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whatever will not hear, whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." Let's read that again. "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." If the voice of Jehovah speaks to you clearly and you understand and you know it's him and you don't act on it, it will be required of you. And I've already shared many times how that's happened in my life. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Deuteronomy 13:15-20. time of intensity where the false prophets are just railing, thinking they're hearing from God and they're only hearing from the devil. Be careful what you look at on the internet. When you Google up something that you want to learn, be careful of the teacher. You must know where that teacher's from and their past, or you will be falling into the snare of the devil. And if you get caught in that trap, we'll probably find you absent from here. And if any of you fall absent from here, watch out. Because I carry a big stick. Sam carries a big gun. Michael carries a cattle prod. And Gene, he carries his wife. We're coming after you. Okay? We don't want you to be fall into this trap. Because we need to be together serving the same God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the Father of Yeshua. We need to be serving Him and no other gods. None. Now you say, well, I don't serve other gods. Okay. We're going to go down that road again, aren't we? This is a God. Okay? You spend your too much time with your face in this, you're worshiping this. This is another God. You put your face in this too long and away from Him, this is your God. Anything that takes you away from Him becomes your God. And technology has become so needy. I gotta have it. I can't live without it. Wrong. What happened in the biblical days? They couldn't text anybody. They didn't do smoke signals. No. But I talked about that last time. Just don't let anything take you away from your relationship with Him. And it's subtle, right? I mean, it's little piece, little pedal at a time until you're gone. Okay? And we hope to catch you before you're gone. That's the elder's job. That's the leadership's position here. Is that what the Almighty has brought here, whoever you are? We're your backup. We got your back. Okay? When you're out on surgery, you get communication, don't you? And you relayed that earlier today with the things in Georgia. People, we got to communicate. Cards, letters, phone calls. I'm guilty. Text messages. Text messages aren't really personal. If you have something in your hand to text, then you can call. Guilty. Okay? But we need to change. And the other thing that's very, very important is to pray for his people, Israel. Israel is surrounded like never before. Their enemies have enough stuff to take them out. But did not the Almighty say that never again will he destroy Israel? Revelation describes the war, but Israel still wins. Don't let it bring you fear, but confidence in the promises of the Father. Because the things that we talked about in the last 20 or 30 years in our walk, the things that have been prophesied that has already come to pass, most of us in here already know what's going to happen. I already know the steps. And the steps are being taken. Prophecy has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled in our lifetime. Many people have said that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and they've all died. And it didn't happen in their lifetime. Because the pieces weren't put together. The puzzle is coming together as we stand here and breathe. And I don't care how old you are, you're going to see it. I have confidence in my God. And I also have human confidence in everyone in here. I know that each one here will stand for God when it comes time. Yeshua is certainly more than a prophet like Moshe, and yet he himself says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." John 14:10. Who is in you? Yeshua is in you. If Yeshua is in you, then the Father's in you. And if the Father's in you, he does the work. If you don't believe it, read John 14:10. I think it's pretty clear. I don't know. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. John 14:24. Then Yeshua said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things." John 8:28. You cannot do this on your own. You can't. So many times, I know I don't speak for myself, but my flesh rises up and I get pretty ticked off. But I have to keep believing that, yeah, it looks pretty rough, but God's got everything in control. I can't control it. I can't change it. He can. The Master of Life speaks only the words given to him by the Father. How humble and how obedient. Now I got to ask you a question that sadly is the answer is not plain to many. Whose words did Yeshua speak? And were they different words than Moshe spoke? No. No. But yet our brethren who don't see eye to eye with us they disagree. And it's sad. It's sad. It's sad that the Word of God has to be hidden in a church service. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They put one of those panels right there and they put it in front of the Torah so nobody sees it. Judgment's coming. So what comes from the mouth of the Almighty? What are these words that he speaks? What is so important about his revealed will? They are all about life. His words are words of life. They are words of life in this world and the world to come. Yeshua speaks from Deuteronomy 8:3 and Matthew 4:4. But he, Yeshua, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father." When you're lying in a hospital bed, the hospital food is so gross you're left with nothing but the Word of God to chew on. When you're stop.
Two things work: the food at the dorm and the food in the army.
And you would know both. So let's hear that again. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah. Say it.
We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah.
Including what's in that book.
Yes. So when you're faced with a situation like Mary Grace was facing, what did she do? She was eaten. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. She was feasting on his words. And that's what she needed to push all that stuff through.
She put the word in, and the word did the work.
That's right.
That's how he designed it.
Yep. You know, I got to say this, Mary Grace. It was such a blessing and joy watching you dance.
Right? Yay!
We miss you. And I pray that you come again and do it again. Because the Father was celebrating too. So they think it's this that somehow we prove our loyalty to Jesus. They're wrong. Yeshua said, "For if you believe Moshe, you would believe me. For the word he wrote was about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe my words?" John 5:46-47. Those who refused to hear what the Father spoke to his servant Moshe will have trouble hearing the words of Yeshua. And we see that's not so in other denominations and faith walks. Because they don't read the words of Moshe. They don't do the words of the Father as it was written, as it was given, breathed out, spoken to Moshe. Otherwise, this room would be filled. That's the fact. This room would be filled. And there would be a time, mark my words, because they're not mine, that we will fill the O'Connell Center. You remember 9/11? What happened on 9/12? You couldn't find any room to sit in a religious building. What drove them there? Fear. Fear of what? Fear of man. Because if they feared God, they'd have already been there on 9/11, not 9/12. Right? Think about it. They feared man. Let that be a lesson to us to fear God, not to fear man. Not to fear what took place last night in Britain. Not to fear what's coming from Mr. Gates or his entourage of scientists who are out to kill us all. A while ago, I spoke about getting the jab, and there's people in here who've gotten the jab. And the only reason why you're alive is because of him. Period. You've repented and asked forgiveness from the Father that you feared man. And if you've truly done that, then that's why you're still alive today. If you haven't done that, I don't have words for that. It's not my place. Yeshua said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name?'" By the way, demons can cast out demons. "And done many wonders in your name?" False prophets. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness,'" which is Torahlessness. Anomia, literally, Torahlessness. So when they cover that up for their Sunday service, what are they doing? Practicing lawlessness. "Don't despise what he has spoken through his prophets. The Father speaks, and his words are his revealed will. Finally, Yehovah said to Moshe, 'Speak.'" The word emor, say speak, is used 20 times in this week's portion. Apparently, there's a lot about the Father's will that is revealed in these three chapters, and we're just going to jump down to the best one. He also speaks about his Moedim. No, John, you don't got it. I don't move. His holy appointments with his people. Leviticus 23 is near and dear to those who revere the Torah of Jehovah. Right? Are they near and dear to you? I only hear two. Four? Five? Yeah, no. Soul. His holy appointments with his people. The reason why is because they have discovered that just as the tabernacle was a holy place, the Moedim are holy times. The Almighty, Eternal King of the universe has sanctified time. These seven, the Father given appointments for Moedim, are broke down this way. Now, I really don't have to go through this list, but for those who are out there in Never Never Land, weekly, we're here. Shabbat. What a beautiful time to be with the Father. You know, just leave everything. When the sun goes down on Friday, leave everything behind. It will take care of itself. So you think. Then you end up bringing it here. Yearly. Pesach. Hag. Shavuot, which is coming. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for 72 degree water. And believe me, there's no diving suit that can save you from that cold. Yom Terah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Wonderful days, wonderful times, appointed times. Times for you to draw closer to him. Although these are not all the appointed times in Scripture, these are certainly the big ones. Elsewhere, we learn of the monthly new moon. Don't get Sam started on that. The Feast of Purim, etc., etc. Ironically, many who might voice such protest, because sometimes you hear believers say, they accuse us of adding to the gospel. Otherwise, well-meaning people accuse us of believing in Jesus plus something. Ironically, many who might voice such protests could be rightly asked if they believe in Jesus plus Paul, Jesus plus Calvin, Jesus plus your pastor. Dangerous. Jesus plus your pastor's seminary. Been to one of them. Jesus plus your theology. Jesus plus Christmas. Jesus plus Easter. Jesus plus Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Nope. Jesus plus church business meetings. Jesus plus church building projects. Jesus plus youth group. I haven't heard that in 20 years. Jesus plus church programs, or Jesus plus church camp. Family may never be Some of these things may be fine and wholesome activities, but remember not to replace or annul what actually came from the mouth of the Father. What he speaks, that is his revealed will. With that, in Yeshua's name, amen. Let's see, Joe and Steph.